The last song said, "Are you ready?"
Yeah,
Is
are you
that the devil I
ready?
heard?
Okay.
What? Amen. Y'all ready? Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Let us turn to Genesis chapter 22. Thank God for everyone who served this morning, everyone who took place this morning. Thank you for everybody who just went ahead and extended service. But we're going to still go ahead and get Genesis chapter 2, 22 to be exact. I think I'm going to start at the first verse. I think you might want to get your Bibles. We're going to probably do a lot of teaching in there. It behooves me to kind of press upon my heart to kind of show you some things in this word. I'm going to take my time today. We got about 40 minutes, give or take. So the Lord will get
Amen.
Chapter 22, when you have it, just say amen. Just make sure all the Zoom congregation is up and ready. Let me know. And do that question request. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lord. Now it came to pass after these things, that God tested Abraham. And God said to him, Abraham, and he said, Here I am. Then he said, Take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah and offer him there a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, and saddled his donkey. He took two young men with him, and Isaac his son, and he split the wood for a burnt offering. And he rose and went to a place which God had told him. Verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw a place and far off. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place and far off.
Amen.
And Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. The lad and I will go yonder and worship, and he will come back to Verse 8. And Abraham said, My son, God will provide for himself the land for a burnt offering. Let's turn over to verse 20. Let's turn to verse 17. Well, let me start with verse 15. Then the angel of the Lord called to Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, By myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, blessing I will bless you. And I will multiply your descendants as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is on the seashore, your descendants shall possess the gate of their enemies. You know, I want to talk to you. I think I'm gonna have to go now. I was just kind of praying, what would the title be? I don't know. I believe the spirit to make this part two of ROI. Part two, ROI. Last week we talked about ROI. Return on God's investment. That was part one. You can find that message on the RSS, which is Spotify, Amazon, all the platforms that we are on. ROI part two. You know, this year we've been discussing God want a return on his investment. Last year, I've been talking about this up until 2025. This was the vision that God wanted for his people. In the year of 2025, he wanted to make sure that he get a return on his investment. ROI. Return on God's investment, however you want to break it down. But we're going to talk about part two. I was just trying to, get myself into a stream of where he exactly wanted me to go. But I said, we're going to flow. We're going to definitely flow here. Let's go back to verse two. First, let me just go back to, let's kind of spin back. Chapter 21. I want to turn your attention real quickly to verse 12. There's a lot of nuggets in here. I'm trying to figure out exactly where the Holy Spirit wanted to pinpoint some things and highlight some things. But certainly there's a lot of nuggets here. Let me go to verse 12 chapter 21. Y'all have it? Just click the thumbs up. I want to make sure everybody's on page because we got to teach today. But God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeased in your sight because of the land or because of your bondman. Whatever Sarah has told you, listen to her voice. For Isaac, your son, shall be called. Now understand this. Now look about this now. This was highlighted in chapter 21. This was after the fact that when Isaac had an older brother named Ishmael, who was from the bondman. Okay, so Sarah was a little disappointed because of the fact that she made the choice and first like, told Abraham, go ahead and have the son because I'm barren. I doubt that I would have any children at this old age. So go ahead and have the child. So as the child began to grow older, this bondwoman, which was Sarah's servant, she began to tease her and mock her because of the fact she thought she could not conceive or bear fruit or bring a return on God's investment. Keep in mind, God already had told them that they were going to have a child in their older age. In fact, he told them, and he sent the angel over in chapter 17. He said, this time from this year, you shall have a son. You call him named Isaac. What she do? She laughed.
Amen.
And so God remembered that laugh. So the year spinning it fast forward. So they had the child. But meanwhile, this child, Ishmael, was 13 years of age because he was 13 years older. But the Sarah got so disappointed in the fact that she was mocked. She told Abraham, send that woman, that bondwoman, and that son, for that son should not share any inheritance with my son Isaac. And so, of course, Abraham was disappointed because remember, if you go back to Genesis chapter 12, God told him he was going to be a blessing and he was going to make him a blessing of many what? Many descendants. So it behooves us to understand what God had told him. Now take your only son. And the reason why he said take your only son, because there was no Ishmael at the time. Ishmael already had been sent off. Isn't it amazing that God would tell you to sacrifice something that you don't really have and what you really can't afford? But he's asking you, and he's testing you, and he's telling you, give it up. Not only give up the present kid, but go ahead and let that other child go ahead as well.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're left with nothing. At least you think.
Mm. Yes.
Mm.
The promises were already given in Genesis chapter 12. You shall be. Now, it almost seems like, God, you are confused here.
Mm.
First, you tell me to give up the son. In fact, it was the wife who told me to give up the son. And then you're telling me to hearken to my wife's voice. And now I got to give up this child. And now you want me to go ahead and sacrifice the only son you told me that you promised me that took so long. And I've been waiting for the blessing. And I've been waiting for the blessing. And the blessing's been delayed. And now that I have it in my hand, you're telling me to sacrifice that too?
Amen.
So much so, we have to really think about the fact that the idea, just for a moment, you don't really have much from the beginning, but you've been made a promise prior. It seems like things are not operating in this domino effect, like 1 through 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, because it seems like when we operate that way, God operates 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Yeah.
It never makes sense when God expressed his instruction or when God explained it. He doesn't give you all the details in between the obedience. All he expects for you and I to do is follow the instruction, no matter what it takes, how it's going to appear, or how it's going to turn, or what people are going to say to distract you from being obedient to the blessing.
Amen.
This is going to be a very pivotal year for each and every one of us. If we really follow and hold in on God's return, I'm telling you, if you give up what you think that you hold most value, you are going to get that return on that investment. What's going to happen is sometimes, I don't know who I'm speaking to in particular, but what's going to happen is God is going to share something with you to do. The very thing he tells you to do is not going to be common to the person who's next to you. It's almost like God is speaking a foreign language to you. And I've said this from time to time, when God speaks to you, no one else hears it. Only you. So with the fact that once he speaks to your spirit, you are already impregnated with the possibility. Let me back it up. With the infinite possibility, ready to create extraordinary results.
Wow.
That's one of our reports, just in case y'all caught that. When God gave you and I a promise, before the promise, the seed got to be planted. Usually a seed don't have much suffering, but it does. Because the further it goes in the ground, the more potential it can bear, the kind of fruit. And so it's up to you and I, when we give those specific instructions, when he gives you something specifically, when it's not as popular as it seems, he knows what he's getting ready to produce in you. He just wants to know that you believe what he's telling you. Because he knows you're pregnant with possibilities. He knows what's in order each inside of each and every one of us. He knows our uprising. We just talked about that in Psalms 139. He knows your down setting. He already knows your inward parts.
Yeah.
He will never tell you to do anything that you can't do. Because watch this, even if you don't have the seed, he'll give you the seed, tell you to take the seed, and believe me for that seed. Well, where am I going to get this? Let me go here, Genesis chapter 22. I told you I got to teach, I'm going to give me a picture. Then he goes here, he says in verse 2, he said, take now your son, your only son. Oh, God Almighty, you talk about a return on the investment? You telling me to give you my most treasure? I don't have much input, but you telling me to give that up to God? Yes, I'm telling you to give it up. I want to tell somebody, DCM, if God is pricking your heart to give up what you most hold value, I say give it up. Because the longer you hold on to it, the more you are going to continue in your poverty.
Ooh.
Oh, man.
Oh.
Poverty is not attractive.
Mm. Mm, 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 mm.
But a return on investment is.
Mm-hmm.
Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love. How much? The thing that we have, that we hold most treasure, that we love. The thing we love, we don't really want to give up. Because you're asking us too much, God. You're asking too much. You're asking me to give up not only the only thing, but the thing that I love most. He said, I began to think about that. It sounds, the story is brilliant, and it's baffling. But you have to think about, if you was in Abraham's place, what would your thoughts be? That this invisible God sneaking in your heart, speaking into your spirit, no one else can hear but the thing he's trying to explain to you, and you sit here, you impregnate with this word, nobody's going to understand what you have. You don't even have the result of being protruding with the pregnancy.
Yeah.
All you got is a seed. The seed ain't really telling much. Because you really got to dig deep to figure out where the seed went to. If you lose it inside some ground, you got to kind of figure out where the seed went. Because there's no, you're looking for the result. But that seed went in, and it's going to give you the possibilities. It's just waiting for you to believe for the infinite possibilities so you can create extraordinary results.
Mm-hmm.
Can I minister?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, good. Then he said, take now your son, your only son, Isaac, whom you love, and go to a land of Moab and offer him a burnt offering, one on one of the mountains. Notice he didn't tell him exactly what he says, on one of the mountains, which I shall tell you. Now, you're telling me to do something, but you ain't really telling me exactly where to go. This is a lot of faith building. So Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his donkey, took two of his young men with him, Isaac his son, and he spent the wood for work. He's preparing his son, his only son now. He's preparing him. And rose and went to the place which God had told him. Then on a third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw a place afar off. Oh, man. Can I turn your attention real quick? Let's go to John real quick. I told you we're going to teach. Y'all not going to make me lose today. Y'all not going to do that. I got to teach. Turn to John 8:56. When you have it, just take the thumbs up. Let me know you have it so we can make sure we are on the same page. They'll keep your finger in that verse that I was talking about. You have the same amen. 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 Everybody got it. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it and he was glad. Okay, y'all not getting this. This is Jesus telling the people. He said, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day. And he saw it, which means past tense. And he was glad. Let's go back here to the verse 4. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and he saw a place afar off. Okay, pretty much most people believe that Abraham saw Jesus afar off, past 2,000 years or past 4,000 years from where he was at the time. He saw the sacrifice already taking place. Here's the key word in that sanctuary. He says afar off. In other words, he's seen it from a distance. And usually, we don't have the type of 20, even if you had 20/20 vision, you can't see certain things at all. In order for you to see certain things at all, you got to be in the spirit. And so Abraham saw Jesus being sacrificed afar off. Because he already told him at the time. He said, your father Abraham already seen this. That's why you got to have the kind of faith to see things afar off before you get there. Then Abraham on the third day, notice it said the third day. If you don't recall, who got up on the third day?
Amen.
Did Abraham witness the third day of the resurrection? Or did he witness the sacrifice? Which one? Either one, he saw something afar. I'm going to try to roll my eyes. You don't want to get excited with me. I'm telling you, DCM, I'm seeing things afar off. I'm trying to get you to the place where you're with me because even though I see it, I can't go by myself. In order for us to manifest this type of blessing, we got to be together, connected, and see things afar off. Coming to church is not going to be the place that you're going to see a fall off. You've got to get in the spirit realm. You've got to begin to get in the presence of God. You've got to seek Him with all your heart and then begin to understand what faith means. Build a relationship up to the point that you can trust Him. And if He tells you something, He's going to make it sure. Abraham said to his young men, stay here with the dove. The lad and I will go young. And we will worship. And we will come back to you. That's kind of faith. In other words, God told him to go ahead and sacrifice his son, his only son. And then he's telling his two servants, he said, matter of fact, let me just tell you something. He's coming back. That's faith. But pretty much, it's almost like Abraham took hold on what God said to him in the previous chapter. He said, I'm going to make descendants out of your child. So in order for you to do that, and you telling me to give up my only thing, don't you know what God? God says, I will multiply what you think you've given up. You ain't given nothing that God can give back.
Amen.
And I know we do a lot of sacrificing, pop beef, and we drive and use gas, we sow, we give, we tithe, we do all these different things. And you don't trust God, even if you do, you don't even trust God. And the Lord is, look, it ain't like the Lord told you to give tithe. You already know you're supposed to tithe.
Yeah.
But here's the thing about God. God is going to tell you to do things outside of your tithe because it's the offering is where your faith belongs. People just tell you to be. Oh, can I say it this way? If he's telling you to do something that's normal, then you ain't going for it. And he's going to tell you to do something that's just a part that ain't God. If God tells you something, gives you a secret. Do you know God knows what a reward lies for your life? He's going to tell you things that's not common. He's going to put something in your spirit that this is not going to be, people are not going to be in agreement. But he didn't tell them, he told it to you. It's the reason why it's not common to them. But he wanted to get it to the place where it's become common to you. Because the more you start to see God, the more faith you need. Because faith attracts more faith.
Yes.
Faith produces faith. It's a heaven step when you start seeing some victory, you get a little bit of confidence about yourself. You start saying, wait a minute, this thing works. Why did I make it difficult? I've been struggling this long, but I didn't have to. I've been putting all these 80 hours on the job, but I still haven't seen results. When I sow a seed, then I'm seeing a return on the investment. The obedience is not working 45 hours a week. It's in your seed. It's in your seed that you're going to get the return on your investment. People think, well, I'm in church, I'm going to get the blessing. That's not the case. You can be out of the church and obey God's voice and get the blessing. Now, it's good to be in the church because that's where you get your instruction from. But if you can do both, man, you and I are all on our way. Let's go back. Try to. It's something. I think some people just need some motivation. Some people need somebody to put some fire to them. Don't you know, boy, that you want to be so high? That whatever you dealing with is not the reality. Oh, watch this now. You made it a reality because you didn't know where. But that is not the reality. It's almost like having a figment of your own imagination. It's almost like you told yourself this is where it should be. Like, first, you override it with God said this is where it should be. You called your own picture. You cut out your own image. Didn't God say you are made in the image and the likeness of who I am? But when you start going outside of God's image and his will, then you certainly have created your own path and your own journey to your own prosperity. And if this is your prosperity, then so be it. Abraham, verse 5. Said to the young man, stay here with the dove and the lad. He's telling his servant, I will go yonder and worship, and we will come back to you. So Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, and laid it on Isaac, his son. You can imagine in between, he's preparing his own son, Junior, his own son. Keep in mind, think about this now, something just hit me. Keep in mind, he's 100 years old. His wife is 90. There's no chance for another offspring to come out of that womb. Because I believe when Isaac came out, that woman was dead. There's no fool. God, you're telling me to give up my only son. First the son I sent off. Now you're telling me to give my son my whole age. There's no chance. Now, if I were younger, I might be concerned. But I'm an old man. And you're telling me to give up my best, the promise son that you told me. I can imagine what Abraham's mindset was as he was traveling up on that mountain. Keep in mind, you gotta have some strong endurance to go up this particular mountain. This wasn't a walk in the park. You needed some endurance, you had to have some exercise, you had to be fit, you had 100 years of age, and you telling me to go up to a mountain, and you want me to give up not only my son, but you want me to exercise not only my faith, but my whole body? Woo! First thing, so Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering, and he laid it on Isaac, his son. And he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and the two offered them and went together. But Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father." And he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Child said, "Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Something's missing. I see everything else, but I don't see the sacrifice." The little kid did not keep his sacrifice. Let me turn your attention real quick. Let's go to Matthew chapter 26, verse 39. This is a little correlation here. Just one of the things we've read. Let's go to verse 29. And then please hold chapter 22. Here's Jesus telling his disciples on his way to death. Not quite there yet. Verse 39. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "Oh my Father." Let me hit verse 39. He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed. Verse 40. He came to his disciples and found them sleeping and said, "Did you notice this correlation here? Didn't Abraham tell his people just go ahead and sit there with the donkey?" Why he went a little further? Jesus told his disciples to stay here. And he went a little further. Follow you, just stay here. I gotta go a little further. In fact, let me say it this way. When you become a leader of any sort, you gotta go a little further than anybody else. Because when you go a little further, God will give you certain things to come back and report to the ones that follow you. Because it ain't common for what I'm doing. It ain't common for what I'm about to do next. I don't know, I just told you. It ain't common for what I'm about to do next. It ain't common for what I'm about to do next. So in order for me to understand that, I think I have to begin to see things from afar off. He goes, verse 7, but Isaac spoke to Abraham, his father, and said, "My father, my father, my father." And he said, "Here I am, my son." Then he said, "Look, the fire and the wood, but where's the lamb for a burnt offering?" Verse 8, and Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself the lamb for burnt offering." You talking about faith, man. He's telling this 8-year-old boy that God will provide himself. He's referring to the Father. He will provide himself a lamb. He's having faith to the very near end. I mean, when hope all against hope. He knew about the thoughts that Abraham was having. But God credited Abraham his faith, gave him, in other words, it was It was when you have credit with God. Shucks. You can't lose. Abraham obtained credit because he believed, and God counted as righteousness. Because he believed when it wasn't common to believe. She and I believed when it wasn't common for us to come here. That's, man, if people could get home, you wouldn't have to work so hard and labor so hard if you get hold of these principles. I think we're working harder than we should. Unnecessary. You can use that same energy and strength elsewhere, but you're using it to labor longer. I'm going to spend more days on a job to make sure I get what I need. And then what happens is when you get there, you still don't have what you need. Oh, God Almighty. This is what's going to separate the people of God at the end of the day. A 1,000 people in the church, but only 40 of them get blessed.
Wow.
That number don't sound right. Because they all get the same word, but not everyone is applying what they hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. Jesus. I'm getting a return on this event. I'm going to get, I'm speaking into my own life if you don't want to. I'm going to get a return on this investment.
Yes.
This church is going to get a return on this investment. Come home, hell, hot, I'm going to shake some of y'all up if y'all ain't getting this. I'm going to shake it up and say, man, come on, let's get this work. Your family's dependent on it. I'm telling you, God is looking for returners. He don't want you looking stale, man. He don't want you looking like you won't look like his child. When Abraham believed, he looked like God's child. He said, they are my son. I want to look like him. Do you?
Yes.
I don't know if Abraham told Sarah, this is what the Lord told. The Bible didn't say that. That's his spouse. He couldn't even tell her that. You know why? Because you lost her mind. Abraham, you got to be Christian. I laughed. I ain't laughing at this. And we are taught to submit unto one another. Husband, submit to your wife, his wife, submit to the church. But what if God tell you to do something, but he didn't tell it to the other spouse? Mm-hmm. Oh, Lord. Verse 8. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself for the land for a burnt offering. Verse 9, then they came to the place of which God had told them, and Abraham built an altar. There he placed the wood and mortar, and he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched out his hand, took the knife, and to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called him from heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham, and he said, here I am. Verse 12, and he said, do not lay hands on that man or anything to him, for now I know you fear God. Since you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me, then Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked. There behind him what? Was a ring put in the thing. He just said in the previous verse, God is going to provide himself a ring. You've got to talk all the way till you get to the end when you don't even see the results.
Yeah.
You got to talk yourself into your return of your investment. I'm telling you, y'all, some of y'all got this. I already know. Y'all gonna get the fruits of y'all labor. Y'all gonna see it. I'm telling you, it's gonna blow your own mind for what God is gonna do in 2025 for some of you. Because I don't believe all of you are applying these words. But it's gonna come. Tell us what you've been doing in your secret place. You think I'm gonna tell Pastor? No. You, God is gonna show up and he's gonna reveal through your fruit because of your obedience. I'm gonna close after this verse. But then he says, verse 16, and he said, by myself I have sworn, says the Lord, because you have done this thing and have not withheld your son, your only son, he kept repeating it. Because he knew the treasure in that child. There was promises coming from that offspring. If you know any better, Jesus came from that promise. You talking about a return in that investment through Isaac came Jesus. So God said, I'm not going to let you sacrifice your child. I'm going to do it for myself. So Abraham was able to see from afar. He saw the same place, but in your hand, your Savior, my Savior, he saw it from afar. He said, oh, God got this. God's going to provide himself a lead. I know you didn't bless you. Something triggered in you right now. You're like, oh, shucks, I'm on something now. Just give me room. Just give me room. Some of y'all just need a little room because it's hard when people around you suffocate the anointing. It's difficult when you're around a group of people who don't believe, but they hovering around you like football players, scoring plays, and it's the wrong play. I want to be around a group of people. When they call a play, I understand this quarterback is taking me to the finish. He said, because of what you did, I'm going to bless you with all my blessings. I'm going to give it to you above, many times over. Now, remember that? Didn't Abraham have many times over the seed after considering sacrificing his own child? I believe when Abraham was about to go, I believe the angel just held his arm. Because if I'm coming down full swing, ain't no stopping that. A voice can't change my mind because I'm already in a momentum. I believe God held his arm up, told his name, and said, no, don't do that. I got this. I just want to see what he was going to do. In other words, it's almost like God said, I want to see you want to sacrifice the only thing that you love. He may not have no intention of accepting, but just want to see you give it up. Hallelujah. Here, watch this now. If you don't give it up, God take it from you. And you show them now what you're going to do now. Now you may got another sacrifice that I already took, but I'm asking you to give up the first one. Lord, have mercy. I feel the wind blowing right now. I believe if somebody came to come out of that camera, they slap you right now. Because they're like, you got the nerve, you know, destiny to speak to me like this. No, the Lord is telling me to speak to you like this. Because he wants your heart to be blessed. Not cursed. Are y'all close? I might be talking to you. Don't sway away from this. Embrace. Because even as your pastor, I'm still looking at myself like, okay, God, I want to make sure that I take it all in. So, we've allowed ourselves to get so distracted because of this world. And people wondering, complaining in your ear, telling you to do X, Y, and Z, they are overshadowing the voice of God in your life. on the fruit that God wanted to give this year, you're not going to be able to carry it if you do it the right way. You're going to need some help. God wanted to return on his investment, but we stopped, so started. I have an opportunity, and you have an opportunity. Guess what? We all have an opportunity to give ourselves a shot. Maybe your shot is coming to this altar and trying it God's way. You've been doing it God's way. You've been doing it your way. You've been doing everybody else's way. I mean, can I ask you a question? Where's the gotcha? Because when you do it God's way, you receive results. Return on his investment. I'm going to ask you to be very, very bold today. Very, very bold. And start off with you. God, I want to return on you. Can you come up to this altar and say, you know what? This is me. This is me. I apologize. I want to go on my face. I want to do it right. Some of you should be repentant right now because you've been disobedient. You've been disobeying the voice of God. And you're allowing other people to dictate to you. And you're allowing the cares of this world. And you're allowing the system to kind of buffet you to keep you from getting the promises. I may have somebody right now in our congregation right now that's just saying, you know what, that's me. That's me. I might have some people here right now say, I need this change. I need this change. I need this change because I haven't obeyed the voice of God. I can get dreams and I'm still kind of like hesitate and I'm delaying. I told some people this and I'm going to say this again. I'm going to keep saying this. Delay disobedience is still disobedience. Oh, are you ready to be obedient right now? Come with me. Come quick. We ain't got much time. Come on, come quickly. The word already should have triggered you by now. You didn't get this word, then I apologize. But I'm praying that you don't let the devil sink you out there. Maybe I have some people who just said, well, Pastor, it's obeying. It's just obeying. It's obeying. That's the key of this thing. If you really think about this whole thing, it's faith is there, but obeying is the key part. We are struggling with obedience for some odd reason. There's some people here, I didn't sense it. You're still struggling with this. You're struggling with this. You're struggling with being obedient. You're not really going to operate in the throttle of the ministry on a call God placed upon you because you're halfway doing it and you think that's going to be my process. I don't want to have a person. I want to above average. I don't want to see. My C is just getting by. Come on, don't hesitate. Come on, please. While I got this ability to put me right. Once again, listen, I can't help. I apologize. Anybody want to get their life to Jesus Christ for the first time in their life? I don't know who I am. You never give Jesus a chance. Where we have some people who once you become a part of this ministry, and I have to make myself clear. I know you've been working, some of you've been serving. So I want to make myself clear. You've been working, you've been serving. This is a chance of giving opportunity for any one of those that I spoke to. If you want to become a member of DCM, Divine Contact Ministries, please raise your hand. We're going to acknowledge you. This is your chance and opportunity. The Lord is pressing upon your heart to go on this ministry, and I'm your man of God. It's also to obey his voice. Don't disregard anything. Everything matters. Everything matters. Everything matters. But I'm telling you, if you can obey the God's word, I'm telling you, your life will never be the same. Take you from obedience will take you places. What money can't do. Anybody else in here? Anybody accepted Jesus? Anybody a part of this ministry, Divine Contact Ministry? If you have not, you notice, I don't care if you've been here for me 2, 3 years, et cetera, et cetera. If you want to believe, if this is the ministry that God has placed you in, stick your thumbs up. I don't know if some people doing private checks, but I know we have that too. Some people are very private. I know people are so private. I don't know what it is. But if you could just if you name anything, be something, just say I want to be a part of DCM. You can type it in and we got you. Amen. That servant's heart and the ministry team, you've been ready to do some great things. And I called him, I said, hey, the Lord put on the real heart, put on my heart. I need you to travel to North Carolina. So, no, I'm not playing. I ain't just something because, you know, I want to be good. No, I'm obeying God's voice. I told y'all, and I'm going to say this again. If the Lord plays something with your heart, it's the same thing as him telling it to you. Don't count it like if he plays anything on your heart. It's the same as him telling it to you. I don't care what it is.
Yeah.
Father God, I thank you, God. This young man, this man of God. Father God, I thank you. This anointing, this house, and it spread to his house, his holy family. Oh God, whatever's on this house, I give it to you. Bless you. Oh God, I thank you, God, for the spirit of obedience in his house. I thank you, God, for the same anointing, the same faith, the same grace. First lady and I, Lord God, that you will put it on Brother Julian and Sister Corina.
Amen.
And they say, I thank you, God. I thank you, God, that you can follow people with his whole heart, mind, and soul. And I pray, God, that everyone else in this house will follow you, God. There's going to be more that's going to follow you. Oh, God, but I thank you, God, that you're going to make him the entire story. Acceleration is in your life. Acceleration is in your life. Acceleration is in your life. I see acceleration is in your life. Things are just going to drop at your head. I'm telling you, things are going to unfold. It's going to be acceleration, acceleration, acceleration. Can you receive that? Acceleration. That's about for my movement. God bless you. Well, this is the time for our house, for our time. And I'm giving. Jamila. Amen. Amen. We welcome you to this ministry. We welcome you to this house. May the same anointing fall in you as well. May acceleration be in you in the name of Jesus. I'm just saying, whenever God is saying and doing in your life, you block out everything that opposes his will. Because this ministry knows how to live. We've been winning for 2 years. We ain't finished winning. If you get a part of this ministry, we're going to win together. In Jesus' name, I speak over your mouth. Now I'm going to give it to the hand. Let me get ready, and I'm going to come back, and I'm just going to say the blessing. We're going to go about our way.